The topics today: political signs, election night, and the hall pass.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Buckle up.
Putting some politics in here.
All right. These are mostly, and I think almost exclusively apolitical, but I'm curious how you will respond. The questions are sent in. If you want to add to the mix, dearjohnjanson@gmail.com. The first one is political signs.
Okay.
Dear John, I loathe this time of year. Every 4 years, I'm not an overly political person, and election season really fires people up. No kidding. I live in an HOA, and candidate signs are banned in the neighborhood. However, people found a loophole. They're displaying massive flags on their porches, and it's not one or two homes. It's like four of every five houses. It's not necessarily one candidate. Both parties are represented. One night, I lost it. John, I know I was wrong. I went out and stole all of them on my block. I received an email saying that they have proof from a Ring doorbell camera and there's a meeting this week. Do I fess up? What do I say? John, I know I was wrong. Please help.
Yeah, just fess up. I mean, first of all, don't be dumb. Like, it's... I understand the annoyance of political signs. I don't understand the vitriol that it all creates. I mean, maybe I do now because of the climate that we are currently in politically, but for you to be motivated that much to steal all of the flags, like, find something better to do with your life, loser.
And you were caught on camera. Yes, confess. Just say, yeah, I did it. Yeah. And say exactly why. I was just sick and tired of seeing these. I'm sorry. Here you go. Give them all back. You know, it's interesting because I do live in an HOA and we do have, not necessarily political signs are banned, but any yard sign is banned.
So like,
graduation. Yeah.
Emily turns six and she can't have a happy birthday in the front yard.
Technically, no. Do people still do it?
Sure.
Yes, of course. Like if your son plays on the football team, I love my library. They stick the signs. Like, yes, people do it, but political signs are not allowed, and you can hang any, you can fly any flag you want, though.
Sure.
So I understand this, but you don't go on somebody's property and take down something you don't like.
Never.
You don't do that.
Generally, you probably have a Ring doorbell or a camera doorbell yourself. Why would you think nobody else does?
Look, I could get how it's obnoxious and like some people make it their entire personality, but it's still their property.
Yes.
If you have an issue, you probably have to go through the HOA and say, hey, if we don't actually want political signs, should we also vote to make that flags as well? That's the only way he has a way out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Address that one November 6th.
Yep.
Right.
All right. The next one, election night. Dear John, I'm throwing an election night watch party for Tuesday night. We're doing themed drinks and snacks. It's a group of about 10 people, all of whom are rooting for the same candidate. The issue is my best friend is on the other side of the aisle, and we go at it from time to time with politics. It's part of our dynamic, and we've stayed good friends. I wouldn't end our friendship over it, but I didn't invite him. Frankly, I don't even want him there. The night will be anxious enough as it is. Well, he found out and is very upset with me. Was I right to leave him out?
This is a tough one. Because you don't want it to be a confrontational party. Somebody's going to be upset. And I don't know. I mean, if you're invested enough to have a watch party.
Who does that?
There's plenty of people.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Watch party with your buddies? Themed drinks?
Like-minded
snacks?
People.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. This seems
that's
more
a little
of a...
More, yeah.
Yeah. It's more extreme, especially when the college football playoff committee is going to be announcing their playoffs that night. I don't think you're wrong, and I don't necessarily think he's wrong in regards to, like, hey, you're my best friend, and you think that I would come up and be confrontational. Now, if you do think there's a confrontation ensuing, then, hey, this is a party that you wouldn't like anyway.
I mean, I think that you still extend the invite. Most likely he'd be like, well, who's going? You tell him who's going. He's like, I think I'll pass on that.
Well, yeah, and be very clear. All right, there's 11 people now coming with you if you want to come. The other 10 are on the other side of the aisle from you. Do you want to be a part of that? And make that offer.
I think you make the offer.
I don't know. You got to protect your peace, right? If you know this person kind of gets off on the political, you know, back and forth, and you don't want that, it's your house, your party, you go, we'll fight about it the next day. It's your house.
It is true. It's your party. Yeah. You can invite who you want.
Would you guys invite Stoney to an election watch party? Seriously, what kind of watch party were you more likely to have on Tuesday?
It depends more on the food being served.
Okay, so which type? An election watch party on Tuesday? An NFL trade deadline party? Or a college football release party? Which party would you have if you had to have one? Death not an option.
Okay, I've got to have a party. I'm probably going with NFL trade deadline.
But there's no promise that Brad's going to give you anything to celebrate about. It could end up being a pretty sad party.
Well, there'd be no local teams in the college football one. So
yeah, but if you're on the wrong side of the aisle and you've got 10 people there for one, it's going to be a sad party.
Yeah. The safest one's probably the college football playoff.
Probably, because it's...
What outrage could you possibly have?
It's not final.
Exactly. The last one is Hall Pass. Dear John, my wife and I have been married for 10 years. We have two children, both under 10. 5 years ago, I found out that my wife had an affair.
Oh, no.
I was crushed. I was numb. I loved my wife a lot. Her affair partner told me about it when my wife called it off. It lasted a full month, and she felt really guilty. I confronted her. She was remorseful, didn't deny it, said she'd do anything, follow any reconciliation steps I asked, begged not to break up our family. I asked her why she cheated. She gave no excuses and said it was for the thrill. My first reaction was to divorce, but after sitting on it for a week, I decided to stick it out for our family and because I still loved my wife. She was thankful and even told me I had a hall pass I could use whenever I wanted. Over the next year or so, my wife had followed all of the steps necessary, including therapy, getting sober, changing jobs, a bunch of things. I have forgiven my wife, but I can never forget it. Fast forward to today, family's doing great, but I have struck up a friendship with a woman who I met at a bookstore. We have common interests. We really click. John, is it okay to use that hall pass and cash it in?
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. No. Two wrongs don't make a right. Like, I mean, let's go back to the rules that we learned as kids. Two wrongs don't make a right. No. All right. She would have said anything at that point if she was truly remorseful. Now, yeah, you can forgive, but it's impossible to forget something like that. And I can't even imagine the thoughts that you still have about someone else being with your wife. But it's not going to make it any better. And you're not going to feel any better.
I agree with everything you just said, that two wrongs don't make a right was basically what I had written down. No, that's not how you solve a problem.
No.
No. You can't do it.
No. How about adding a little bit more spice now so it's not the same trap that your wife fell into? She liked the thrill of it. All right.
What are you proposing right now?
add a little thrill into your own relationship. All right. You know, be a little spontaneous.
Get a storage unit. I don't know.
Oh, boy. I still can't believe that one. I've asked a lot of people. I'm like, would you ever? And everybody's like, no.
Pip it. Pick up a stranger at a bar role play. Try that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that you could spice it up. Yeah.
Maybe that's next week. Ways to spice it up. It's Dear John. It's 97.1. Dodgers come back down 5-0, aided by several Yankee blunders. I'm sure everybody feels really bad for the Yankees. Gerrit Cole doesn't cover first. They got a ball dropped in center field. Shortstop, short arms at the third. Just a collection of mistakes and errors for the Yankees and the Dodgers win the World Series.
Freddie Freeman.
There he is.
Always the man on the spot.
And this was going to be true no matter who won the World Series, but it's once again a big payroll that gets it done. The last 15 years, 13 of the 15 World Series champions have had a top 10 payroll. You don't have to be Yankees or Dodgers.
Right.
But it'll just remind people, it's pay to play. These are all billionaires. If you want to get in the game, you got to build to a payroll that's top 10.
It's pay to play.
Pay to play. And I know good players aren't always the highest paid players. Yes, but a lot of the good players are highly paid players. And
or
you need
they
the
eventually will
to,
be.
Yeah, and you need them to win.
Yeah.
So.
There's a couple available.
Just a note for this offseason, a little tone setter. I'm not expecting them to have a Dodgers payroll or even a Yankees payroll or anything like that.
Could you get one of them?
Start nudging their way towards a top 10 payroll.
Calling Mr. Soto.
Okay, so what did Soto say, Tom? You said this off air. Do you have the quote?
I'm paraphrasing, but he said he's open to joining all teams.
Yeah.
He doesn't know the list. He doesn't know who's interested, but he said he is open to having a conversation with anybody that's interested.
Do you basically buy that?
If you pay me the most, I will come play for you.
Do you believe that?
He didn't say that.
The list, okay. So the only way it changes is if the Yankees want to pay me a lot of money, maybe I'll come back and chase another World Series. If the Dodgers want to pay me a lot of money, and it's not as much as some other team, maybe I'll go chase another World Series. But what it does say is if everyone is on the list, you pay me the most, you get your best chances.
But every once in a while, a new team will jump into the fray in baseball. The Padres did it, right? 5 years ago, roughly, where they were like, we're going to start spending money. Maybe somebody decides to do that. Maybe it's one of the Florida teams. Nobody would ever see it coming, but the tax breaks that you get, you know?
Sure.
That's why Sue went to Miami. I mean, athletes have all kinds of different motivations, and maybe he could make more money than if he in Florida than he could if, from a contract with the Yankees. It might be worth more because of taxes, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't know why he would go to California.
Well, the A's will eventually be in Vegas.
Yes.
They're not there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one team that can pay him in crazy puffs, just saying.
Yeah.
I don't think it would happen.
Crazy puffs for life if he comes here?
No, and like, okay, I don't want to bring this up in a serious way because I'll just be laughed off of, you know, the show here. But if your payroll is like laughably like inadequate,
even if you do something like that, you're not going to be...
You still won't have a top 10 top payroll. 10. Like, think about it. The Tigers could pay Juan Soto whatever he wants plus a dollar, and they still wouldn't have a top 10 payroll. So should they at least... They should be in on him. I don't have any expectation, but the idea that... Because remember, the comments from Harris were, if a player makes us better, where I can't argue Soto would make them better. But of course he would.
But you don't want to block any bats.
Do you think the line... Jim, honestly, do you think the Tigers could offer a $600 million contract?
Can they? Of course they can.
Do you think it...
Okay. Is the owner broke? I mean, of course they could offer it. I don't know that they will, but that's a completely separate argument.
I mean, it would be ridiculous if he played here. What would you do with Virling in the outfield?
These are the questions we need to be asking.
He'd play third then, right?
Yes.
And then Young would go to second and Keith the first and bye-bye right. Torque?
And I don't want this to be misconstrued. Nobody is saying they have to sign Juan Soto or the team is cheap and poorly run or anything like that. No one's saying they have to hit a certain dollar spend this offseason or else they're not trying. But they do need to add real veteran bats that cost real money.
I will say, taking his comments, let's say, he's inviting maybe a wild card team to jump into the fray.
He's inciting a bidding war.
Yeah,
is what he's trying to do.
You know what? I would just first glance, if they keep Guerrero, maybe the Blue Jays get involved, steal him from a division rival. You put him with Bichette and Guerrero.
Well, they were in on Ohtani, so I wouldn't rule that out. Yeah, I think most likely he will end up a Yankee or a Dodger.
Yeah, because they could pay the most, and they're willing to,
and they're good teams too.
Yeah.
Well, and if I'm the Yankees,
because they pay the most.
Huge part. Yeah. Funny how that all goes hand in hand. A couple ticket texts on Dear John. This one says, I would reject the hall pass and tell her she has to get implants. Oh, no.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to step out, but you need to improve.
Okay, yeah, that's in poor taste. This one says, hall pass writer, you do not want to stoop down to the same level of activity that hurt you. Be a real man. That behavior might explain why she had an issue with you in the first place. Good luck. This one says, I'll add some spice to that story about the cheating wife. Divorce papers and a new phone number. Jerry and South Lyon. Hall pass scenario is the wildest Dear John I can remember to date. Should have left her when he found out initially.
That's a tough one. I mean,
they have kids.
Yeah.
They have a family.
He said he still loved her, but that's a hard thing to get over.
Yeah, because that vision, can only imagine, never leaves your mind.
And how do you fully trust that person ever again?
An answer I have no answer to.
Texter says, an unhappy home ruins families more than divorce. So another person advocating that they should have just ended the marriage then. Who has time to date when you still have small kids?
It's time to do anything.
On the election,
more head spice.
There you go. On the election night question, someone brought up Stoney being at your watch party.
Yeah.
Stoney would probably split a Republican president and a Democrat vice president or vice versa. Classic flip-flopper.
Yeah. Well, I'd take the top of this ticket and the second of this ticket. Now, if they could do that, I'd vote.
Think about it. I'm stealing what you said, Jim, but he would shade half the box
on one of them
and then the other half for the other one. So he gets like either he gets Trump and who's running with, I can't even think now.
Walls.
Yeah. And then or you would have Harris and
Vance.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't do that because of the whole pick six comment.
The stony ballot. They gotta come up with this.
It's incredible. Let's get to Heather in the news. Heather, what's going on?
So Jalen Hurts called it a blessing to spend the team's off day this week at the golf course with former President Barack Obama. But Hurts didn't actually play golf with the former president, while his teammate Saquon Barkley did. So instead, Hurts just kind of walked the course. He was there, right, with the foursome. And he later explained that he never even touched a club because the Eagles won't let him. It's all due to this clause in his contract. So despite the fact that he couldn't play, he did say that he, you know, did a little trash talking and said, you know, just wait till I can play, and still said that he enjoyed his day.
I saw this story. John, this is not uncommon for teams to have certain clauses. I had never heard of golf being something teams didn't want their players doing.
Yeah,
is it
that
dangerous
be...
for like a quarterback? Am I missing
No, it might just be, I mean, if he was there riding around in a car, maybe just time on feet.
Okay.
You know, on the day
off. Walked.
No, I know. Yeah, it
was more. I took the article as more. I'm not allowed to swing a golf club. Like, I cannot play golf. I can walk. I can be in a golf cart. I can be on a golf course. I just physically can't swing the golf club. Is how I took it.
It's interesting.
It is very interesting.
Never heard of that.
Nope. In honor of National Sandwich Day, which is November 3rd, and National Fried Chicken Sandwich Day, which is November 9th, Popeyes is handing out free chicken sandwiches for a limited time, and you can get your hands on one. So here's what you have to do. You can get a free classic, spicy, or the new ghost pepper chicken sandwich with an online order of at least $10. Pretty simple as that. The promotion runs through Sunday, November 10th.
Cool. I've never had the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Oh, it's good.
Is it good?
It's good. There's a whole fight with that and Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
I think I still prefer the Chick-fil-A sandwich, but I prefer the
Does Popeyes have breakfast sandwiches?
I have no idea. I've never been to one.
Because I love the Chick-fil-A breakfast sandwich. Chicken, egg, cheese.
Yeah.
Which seems like it would be odd, but...
It goes together.
Their biscuits are...
They might.
Popeyes has good biscuits too, but you got to have something to drink with them because they will...
Soak it all up.
Dry, yeah.
The world's tallest teen is set to make college basketball history. At 7'9" tall,
whoa,
Florida Gators freshman Olivier Rieu has become the tallest player in college basketball history. This kid is a beast. Listen to this. By the time he turned 8 years old, he was already towering over his classmates. Sixth grade, he was 6'11" tall.
In sixth grade?
In sixth grade. Then at 15, he was 7'5". At 15 years old, that's when he was put in the Guinness World Records. They named him the tallest teenager on the planet. Now he's 18 years old, 7'9" tall. And like I said, he's going to make history.
Still the tallest teenager on the planet.
It's crazy. He comes from a tall family. His dad is 6'8". His mom is 6'2". He has an older brother who's 6'9".
Okay.
I mean, all very tall. And he says, you know, when I met with my family... It's normal to be tall. We all go out together and we get the looks right and everyone wants to know how tall we are. But he says it does wear on him a little bit when he's, you know, he really steps out anywhere and everyone's like, oh, wow. You know, and then he's all alone. There's nobody else as tall. I mean, not that his family's even as tall as him, but.
Yeah, he's a foot taller than his brother.
And his brother is very tall.
6'9", yeah. What's that, two Collins? Like if he was on shoulder?
Yeah. Probably. Okay, so it's Halloween, and I thought I'd give you some fun Halloween news. So a lot of people have been preparing for Halloween for quite some time. It says the average person started prepping for Halloween and thinking about their costume over 5 weeks ago. It's really people in their 20s and 30s who have been prepping the longest, maybe even longer than that. We're going to spend about $11.6 billion on Halloween this year. That's $104 per person. That's including costumes, candy, decorations, those gigantic skeletons that you're seeing in people's front yard, things like that. 72% of Americans are celebrating this year. 67% will hand out candy. 52% will put up decorations. 49% will be dressing up. And adults get in on the holiday too. 21% of adults between 18 and 30 say Halloween is their favorite holiday. They're going all out. Only 11% of Americans think that Halloween is a harmful holiday.
Well, I don't think there's any harmful about it.
Oh,
I just
you're
don't
rotting
like it.
Your teeth.
Oh.
What about all those kids' toilet paper?
Come over to my house. You get a pencil.
Here's a toothbrush. Enjoy.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Don't be one of those people, please.
Yes. Yes.
Kids don't want that. An apple. How do you feel about the bags of chips?
Step it up.
I don't like the bags of chips.
I don't either.
I don't like chips to begin with, so.
I was always disappointed when I got those. You know, you go home and you sort the candy, yep. And you're always like, oh, great, another bag of chips. It's the worst.
Yeah. It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the market is materializing. What would it take to get one of those edge rushers? We have a report next. It's 97.1. Hey, that sounds good to me. That's Dan Campbell talking about Jameson Williams.
Uh-huh.
We want to know
even
how...
Even though you don't want him here.
That's...
It's just like you didn't want Jared Goff here.
It's not what I said. We want to look ahead to Tuesday, trade deadline.
Kind of is.
What do you think I said?
What do I think you said?
Yes.
That you don't want to extend him. That you don't want him here anymore. He's not worth it to you.
We asked, and people can go back and rewind and listen to it. If you had to
have left out a few words.
If you had to make the decision today, of course you did. If you had to make the decision today on the fifth year, they don't, but if you had to make a decision today, what would you do? And I said, I would decline it. That would still mean he plays this year and next, and he could earn that extra money. My thing all along. Even with Jared Goff, you go out, you perform, you exceed expectations, you ingratiate yourself to this team, to this city, and you have the tape and you've done it. Take care of them. And Brad Holmes has done that with a number of these guys. It would be on brand to make J-Mo earn it. The reason
it would also be on brand for them to be loyal to a draft pick
that performs. And J-Mo could perform at the end of this season.
Until this year, did Levi perform?
Well, they haven't had to make a decision on him yet.
Well, they kept him around for this year. I mean, we're talking about
cut him, but they
going
didn't
into
extend
his fourth
him. I'm talking
year,
about
yeah.
getting paid. We're not talking about rookie deals. We're talking about the big deals.
We're not talking
really...
about a, you know, yes, getting paid, making more than he is now.
It's a big step up, a fifth-year option.
It is, but not like paying another receiver to come in here, whether it's free agency or if you want to go through the draft and try and find somebody that could do what he does for this offense.
John, whether it's J-Mo or someone else who does not get a second contract here in Detroit or does not get extended in Detroit, they will have to replace him, and they'll most likely do it via the draft. So in the case of J-Mo or any player, because I know J-Mo gets a certain reaction, any Lions player...
Which takes away an opportunity to get an edge defender or develop some depth there or offensive lineman, because you're going to need more than one offensive lineman.
But we're talking about 2 years from now. Like, J-Mo's on the team this year and next, regardless of if they pick up the option or not. And I'm cool with that. Give him every chance to succeed. But as of right now, I mean, let's state the obvious. He has things he needs to work on.
There's no question, but it's all projection. And you're projecting the negative. I'm projecting the positive.
All right, John.
I think that's kind of where we are.
I know that's how you want to frame it. And what I want to do is talk about something
is that not it? Please prove me wrong.
I have enough time trying to fight.
You have been very consistent on... I need to see it with the Lions because you need to see it. You needed to see it with Jared Goff.
Yes.
You've needed to see it with all of these guys. So I get where you're at.
I'm not singling J-Mo out. I know how it will sound. What I'd like to do is talk about the trade deadline, which is on Tuesday. And we wonder, what is it going to take to get some of these guys? And this is still very much up in the air. But we have a report from ESPN on Za'Darius Smith. He did not practice yesterday. He is a pass rusher with experience in the division. He's got 5 sacks this season. He signed this year and next. He's a guy we've talked about on the show the last couple weeks. What's the market for Za'Darius Smith? Here's Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. 4th on the high end.
So they're going to say, yeah, we're thinking about keeping him around for 2 years because we have him under contract. But, I mean, how much better are they going to be next year? Like maybe they get a top pick and they get a quarterback and we haven't even dove into, you know, who the quarterbacks are, how good they are, how they compare to other years. I don't think they're going to be any better next year. He's got more value at the trade deadline now than he will in the offseason, than he will at next year's trade deadline. So if they can get a good day 3 pick. Now, there's going to be other teams that could give a good day 3 pick better than the Lions because they have no 3, but they also, I think we all anticipate, they're going to be drafting at the end of the 4th round.
If this is what it would take, they can't be left doing nothing. We can't hear about on Tuesday that the market was ridiculous and the asking prices were too high and we like our practice squad pass rushers when there is someone more proven available for a day three pick. Brad Holmes has used a fourth round pick on a project offensive lineman who doesn't dress on game days. The idea that you couldn't use a first or it's too much to give up, I hope that's not the song they're singing on Tuesday. I think they have to do something, and they can't gaslight us into going, well, group's good enough. It is good enough, but you want to be as good as you can be.
Yeah. And the group may be good enough, but like you said, you want to do everything to give yourself as many advantages as possible. And I think there needs to be lessons learned last year. Not that I wasn't too crushed. I was hoping for an edge opposite Aiden. More because, I thought it would bode well for them in the playoffs as the season neared end. I also thought it would be very entertaining to watch both of those guys play on opposite sides. It didn't happen. They ended up making the NFC Championship game. And we have no idea what could have been. They were up 17, ended up losing. There were some key plays, but some of those key plays may not even happen if you are able to apply pressure. The first half, instead of being up 17, maybe you're up 24. Maybe you're up 21. Who knows? Yeah. But this year, the expectation is not just playoffs. It's not just division. It's not just NFC Championship game. And it's not just Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl championship. Mm-hmm. So give yourself every advantage because you're now at a disadvantage from where you started the season.
Yeah. Okay. And I can't treat this report like it's gospel, but it's our first idea, a barometer of what the market might look like for the position group. I guess Uche being traded for a sixth also gave us a mark, but.
Yeah, but Za'Darius Smith is a
more complete player. And this pricing makes sense to me. Again, I don't know. NFL teams are going to have their own line in the sand, but I wonder what Brad Holmes is waiting for if this is the asking price. Is he working bigger moves and wants to see where those end up? I just don't want him to get caught with nothing. If someone else says, hey, we could use a pass rusher too. You can never have enough
of
these guys. Yeah, here's our fourth. We want to catch the Lions.
Yeah.
Oops. Now the Lions
Or maybe we don't offer a fourth just so he doesn't go to the Lions.
Sure.
And we still get good production out of him.
Right. This gives us our first real test for Holmes. This price doesn't seem astronomical. This is a player who could help this football team. Get it done.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question, and especially since there's another year on there. Because now you're looking at next year, whether you're looking at the draft, you're looking at free agency, do you need to go out there and get another edge? Sure, you want to create depth, but it might buy you another year where, okay, with our first and second, maybe we decide that we want to go offensive line. Maybe we decide we want to go receiver. If J-Mo's not a part of the deal, or even if J-Mo is a part of, they're going to pick up the fifth year, but it's to trade, or it's cheaper than it is giving them an extended contract because we don't want them here for a six. Now all of a sudden you have some time to continue to develop that next receiver.
Some ticket text 248-539-9797. If Za'Darius only cost a fourth, I'm making that trade and adding another guy on top of it. Tom in Flat Rock.
Let me ask you guys, is Smith the bare minimum move in terms of name,
I think so.
Fit?
Yeah, I think so. And I could see if they don't get the big fish, but they get two guys, kind of what Tom on the ticket text is saying,
yeah,
that could be another way of going, hey, we lost Davenport and Hutch. You know, we could use two bodies, so we're not running practice squad guys out there in critical third downs. Texter says, Cookies is going to be so mad when they don't make a trade. Well, I think we all will be.
I think you'll be more mad
than most.
Then I'll be disappointed. You'll have straight out anger. But here's what
is that,
they
is that
have.
Really is that unfair to be mad if they don't make a move?
Well, I mean, you can have your opinion,
right? But is that like an overreaction?
If it's determined at the end of the year that they don't win a Super Bowl because they don't have another edge or an edge, then that's when the anger comes out. I don't know that I would necessarily show that anger now. Here's the ammo that they have to work with. A first and second to trade for next year. A fourth round, a fifth round, a sixth, and 2 7ths. That's the ammo that they're working with in the 25 draft. Obviously, there's more in 26.
Do you think they'll win the Super Bowl right now? Like, let me just add, do you think the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I don't think they will if they don't make some move here. I think the depth will bite them in the butt down the road. They need bodies. You might not like the body they bring in, but they need bodies. I mean, Pascal's maybe not out this. He might be out this week. It's starting to lean that way. We don't really know what's going on here. They said it's not directly cancer related, but to miss a second straight game just makes you wonder.
We got ticket text to read, some phone calls to knock out, some on the JMO stuff, but the conversation I'm trying to have, I know John's trying to paint me into this negative corner, is about improvement, winning, good things for the Lions, the trade that they should make. You just won't let me. It's 97.1. We played the audio. A fourth-round pick is the ask from Cleveland for Za'Darius Smith. Ask doesn't mean they'll receive. Brad could start with a fifth and try to negotiate, and who knows? But we have some idea of a market for a player that we've discussed. Might want two players if you're going to go on the lower end. Maybe he's holding out for a higher-end player. Ticket text 248-539-9797. Ticket texters reacting to that, plus the JMO conversation we had earlier. Yesterday, it was a huge topic, and it was about what happened and didn't happen. We've looked ahead today, and the question was, if you had to decide right now, fifth-year option, yes or no? Ticket texter says, in regards to extending JMO, if it prevents the Lions from paying to keep Branch or Kirby, no. JMO's made tough decisions. It's easier for Holmes with those bad decisions. So it's worth pointing out, JMO's fifth year would kick in the same time that Goff's money really starts to be on the books. Mm-hmm. Sewell and St. Brown money really starts to fill up your cap sheet. If he performs well, you'll figure it out. But if he doesn't perform well, I mean, that those are the type of decisions you have to make.
Then you have more value in your trade asset.
Which is the point you made. Ticket texter says, Brad Holmes.
One of them.
One of your many brilliant points. Is that what you wanted me to say, John?
No. I just said it's one of them. Okay. You can describe them however you want.
Okay. Don't hurt yourself, pat yourself on the back. This one says, trying not to get mad at Brad Holmes, but potentially 2 years in a row, he could take some blame for not getting us to the final steps.
It's all right there. There is no question. If he doesn't, I know what the conversation will be Wednesday morning.
The Lions didn't lose to the Niners because they passed on making a big trade last season. I think there's truth. It's a yes and no to me. They lost the game for a number of reasons. Josh Reynolds drop on 4th-and-2. That play going the other way might have been enough for them to win the game by itself, right? The Vildor play, the Gibbs fumble, like these are all plays that I look back at and put the majority of the blame. But it's also true that in that third quarter and that fourth quarter, Brock Purdy was extending plays on third down, and if you had a better pass rush, he doesn't extend those plays. They don't find the end zone. They don't kick a field goal. You get the ball back, one more chance to win the football game. It's not the sole reason they failed to make the NFC title game, but I think failed to make the Super Bowl, but I think it's part of it. Yeah,
certainly is.
Yeah. This one says, Brad Holmes not making at least one significant move to address the defensive end and running out practice squad players is the equivalent of signing Vildor off the couch last year, which did cost us the NFC title game. Go get Hendrickson and Za'Darius Smith, Jared and Flint.
And then just don't draft for the next couple of years.
No more draft. The draft is canceled.
No more draft.
Yeah. Joe in Flint, you're on 97.1.
Good morning. I have a trade proposal. How about the Lions send Montgomery and Angeloni and their first-round pick
to
the Cowboys for Rico Dowdle and Micah Parsons?
Permission to hang up on this guy?
Yeah, no, that's not. I mean,
Joe, love
you
to death, but what are we? We're trading away Montgomery. We're trading away Angeloni. We're trading away guys that are part of winning the championship.
The heart and soul of this team.
And a first in there. I'm getting Parsons and a running back I don't care about.
Yeah.
I know the rebuttal. Well, we have Gibbs. The 1-2 punch is what makes this thing go offensively. Let's try to do better. D'Angelo in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Hey, I had a quick trade proposal as well. My question is, how do you guys think about this? Trading this year's second-round pick for Trey Hendrickson, or even next year's second-round pick for Trey Hendrickson, and this year's fourth for Za'Darius Smith, and sending Josh Pascoe to the Bengals to get Trey Hendrickson, and then keep Za'Darius Smith as a rotational guy for next year for when Hutch comes back.
I don't hate the idea.
I mean, I don't hate the idea, no.
You don't like the idea?
No, I like the idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was echoing what you said.
Oh, I didn't know if you were.
No, I just don't know. I mean, okay, if you lose Trey Hendrickson, do you just want to fill that roster spot with a player?
Well, Trey Hendrickson has this year and next year on his contract. Now,
right.
You could argue he wants to be traded and extended, but I think assuming you could get him in and you're in pursuit of a Super Bowl for this year and next year, you figure it out beyond
the offseason.
Yeah, exactly. And in terms of asking price for Trey Hendrickson, that's something we don't know. We don't have a report from ESPN.
Yeah,
that can fill in the
blank. I just don't think a second. And I mean, if you throw in Josh Pascal, like I'm not sure that gets it done for Trey Hendrickson.